It is Philippians 4 in the 4 verse, let me see if I can read this, 5, 6, somewhere around there. You've heard this one before, as always. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen on that.
Amen.
Father, we
Amen.
are grateful that this verse is here to just provide us with the knowledge that you love us and that you will always be with us, and we can take and we can ask you anything that we need. And we thank you for all that you have done for us in the many years that we've followed you.
Yes.
And we ask that that peace that will guard our hearts be always with us, and that our minds are focused on you because you are focused on each and every one of us. And we will continue to live with you, our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we've already taken care of 1 month in this year of 2026. Some of us find it incredible that we're already in month number two, but we've just finished, as we've come into this new year, just a focusing on the joy that is ours, this great gift that God has provided for us. And so in the gift of our salvation, in this great joy that God places in our hearts, it also, to me, it speaks of how different God's kingdom is from what we would we know in the natural. And so I want us to take a few weeks to look at all these, or several of the differences on what God's kingdom is, how it operates, what it prioritizes, and often what it is different from the things that we would normally, in our own human thinking, assume to be correct. So let me read this paragraph as we come into thinking about the all-new kingdom. Built into our old nature is a powerful resistance to change, unless, of course, it's a change we're choosing for ourselves. Routine is a comfortable, reassuring predictability for many, but for some, it can be a soul-withering, mind-numbing grind. Jesus introduced the kingdom of God, taking everyone and everything to their foundations. To those wanting at all costs to preserve the status quo, Jesus' message was unacceptably radical, even heretical. To those champing at the bit to see change, it was insufficiently radical. For all, the learning curve was steep indeed. And so, because we're familiar with Scripture, as Horace has said from this passage in Philippians, we've read this. But I think what we need to try to go back and think of what it was like
Oh, yeah, thank you.
for the people in the first century to hear Jesus talking and speaking things that were contrary to the way they knew and the way they operated. And so it's not as shocking to us. We look at these things sometimes and go, well, what's the big deal? We know these things. So I'd like us to be able to, if we can think back, what it must have been like for those hearing Jesus' words. Was it all that normal? Was it ho-hum? Was it the same old? Or was it truly a radical departure from what they knew? So for that, let's look into Matthew chapter 19 and just a few verses today. But it wants to focus on them long enough to go, oh, maybe that's true. So in Matthew 19, the first two verses, reading out of the Passion. After Jesus finished teaching them, the crowds, he left Galilee and made his way toward the district of Judea, east of the Jordan River. Massive crowds followed him, and he healed all who were sick. So you say, and? Yes, we know these things. So what are you stopping here for? Massive crowds followed him, and he healed all who were sick.
Yeah.
The crowds were not expecting to find such power operating in their midst and made available to them. Maybe they would have assumed if there was any power close to this, it would not include them. They were just the crowd. They were the no-name people. And yet Jesus came with healing. And all the translations say crowds followed him and he healed them there, healed them. So this passage here that says he healed all who were sick is translated directly from the Hebrew version of Matthew. So he healed all who were sick. Can you imagine in massive crowds how many people in that day would have suffered from various illnesses,
right?
Suffered from the diseases, but also broken bones, dislocated things, and were also, you know, coming with maybe crutches or whatever. And some might have been sick enough that they were being brought on, you know, on some type of a rude structure, like a stretcher or something, to hope for something happening here that there could be, because they've heard so much about Jesus and how powerful he is, maybe it could also be available to them. And so here they are, they're following Jesus, and everybody in the crowd. So if there's a few thousand people, and there might have been half of them who had things that needed to be healed, and the doctors weren't able to heal them or whatever. And so Jesus healed all of them. Everyone that came to him that was sick, Jesus healed them. This is astonishing. And the more illness was severe, the more it was a shock that they were able to walk away totally healed. So this is a radical departure from what they've known. And so the blank, and number one, in God's kingdom, power for healing is near and available. It's near and it's available. And of course, Jesus will continue to do these type of things throughout his ministry. People will come to him, the blind, the lepers, you know, they'll come to him. The widow of Nain obviously is bringing her son out to be buried, and Jesus stops with compassion and brings her son back to life.
Sorry, everybody. Hold on.
So are you
on?
Yes.
Sorry, just want you to know you're freezing up.
Ah.
And maybe you could repeat, if you remember, repeat what you just said.
Okay. I don't know. Am I back?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, just, I'm not sure where I cut out for you guys.
That's okay.
I don't freeze up on my end. And so just the fact that Jesus healed everyone to their shock, and everyone that came to him walked away whole.
Yeah.
That was a major departure. And so did I freeze up when I gave you the blank in number one?
Oh,
no.
No, you're good on the blank.
Oh, good on the blank. All right. So this is the first thing that we just, I think, need to especially for the disciples who were standing there watching this, everyone who came up, like, you know, complaining of headaches and toothaches and backaches, whatever, or broken bones, or on a stretcher, barely able to move. And they're all of them stand up and they are totally healed. Nobody's ever seen this before. This wide scale, just amazing outpouring of power for healing. And so that's getting everyone's attention. So when that happens, whatever Jesus says from this point on, everybody is paying strict attention. Because if he has that power, we need to be very careful to listen in to what else he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this first thing. They rarely see healing happen. And then when it happens to everyone in a massive crowd, that's riveting. That's something that you go, whoa, this is something amazing that we don't know. So looking over at the next verse we're going to look at, just one verse here in Matthew 19, but verse 13. So Jesus has healed everyone's whole, everyone's healthy now. And so it says here in verse 13, then they, meaning the parents, brought little children to Jesus so that he could lay his hands on them, bless them, and pray for them. But the disciples scolded those who brought the children, saying, don't bother him with those now. So this is the way it was. You know, it's like Jesus is an important person. He has power. He has authority. He's a big guy, kind of the big guy on campus right now. And so children, don't bring the children. We have more important things to do here than pay attention to them. And if you're just coming to have them blessed, that's not what this is about, guys. Obviously, have you not been paying attention? Jesus has big teachings to do. And this is just a major interruption, and it's annoying. It's annoying to us, so it must be annoying to Jesus. So the blank there in number 2, verse 13, in God's kingdom, children aren't pushed aside. They aren't pushed aside. And you know, many cultures today, really, little children don't have much status at all. They're really not, they do what they want to do. They're really not, they're hardly considered people until I don't know what age they get to, but they just run around freely, do whatever they want to do. And nobody ever corrects them because they're just children. They're little children. And so this is kind of what's happening here. And the disciples are responding like typical people of their day. You know, it's like, this is a big teacher here, major teaching that we need to hear. And we can't be interrupting him with these little guys. And, you know, one of our former national directors would call them ankle biters or crumb crunchers. So, but, you know, that's kind of the way they were looked at. You know, we don't want to spend a whole lot of time here. And so, but they're about to find out that that's not the way it is in the kingdom. So children aren't pushed aside in the kingdom. So let's read verses 14 and 15. Jesus overheard them and said, I want little children to come to me, so never interfere with them when they want to come. For heaven's kingdom realm is composed of beloved ones like these. Listen to this truth. Boy, if Jesus said anything like this in Aramaic or whatever he was speaking at the time, listen to this truth. Everybody is really listening now. And he says, no one will enter the kingdom realm of heaven unless he becomes like one of these. Then he laid his hands on each of them and went on his way. No one will enter the kingdom realm of heaven unless he becomes like one of these. Well, people practically fell over, I'm sure, when they heard Jesus say this. What? What are you talking about? That, what do we need to do here? You know, it almost reminds me of his interview with Nicodemus, and Jesus, and he says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, you know, this guy who's well versed in scripture, says, well, how does that work? Do I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Like, that's ridiculous. And but Jesus obviously knew that Nicodemus and his much teaching had caused him not to understand and didn't see that there were two births, one of flesh and one of spirit. So Jesus here shocks everyone. Well, let's just say he shocks the disciples and many in the crowd. Well, what do you think the effect was on the parents? Whoa, not only has Jesus accepted that we bring them, but he says, never interfere with them when they want to come to me, because the kingdom is made of beloved ones like these little children. And so now there's stunned silence in the huge crowd. The disciples, I bet you, have backed up a few steps, wanting to walk away just a bit from what seemed like a bit of anger that flashed in Jesus' eyes. And the parents now are really crowding in because they really want Jesus to bless their children and to take time to pay attention. And so they're elated that they were right, that they had this desire to bring children to Jesus. And so in Matthew number 3, verses 14 and 15, in God's kingdom, being childlike is not optional. Being childlike is not optional. Not childish, but childlike. Coming with simplicity, not overcomplicating. Answering questions that they're asking, but answering them at their level, at their understanding level. This is messing with a lot of minds as they watch this thing happen. Not just all the healings, but then this incredible outspoken statement of Jesus that the kingdom realm of heaven is made up of ones just like this. These little ones, these innocent ones, these unpretentious ones, unsophisticated, just little and happy to be little ones, unburdened by the world's problems and issues. So that's what the kingdom is made up of. This incredible turnabout, this upside down kingdom, as it's been called, where now little children aren't to be pushed aside, but they're to be recognized and given value, given recognition, and make time for. So that seems strange in our culture because we do pay attention to our children and we take care of them almost to the other extreme, where we almost idolize the children and allow them to do whatever they want to do. So maybe we've gone a bit too far in our culture with all of that. But Jesus is recognizing the value of small children. And he's saying, not only are they welcome, but the kingdom realm of heaven is made up of ones just like this. So sometimes I think in our over-educated world, we recognize degrees, we recognize accomplishments, we recognize works done. And yet what really strikes a chord with Jesus is our lack of wanting to show our credentials, wanting to be the degreed ones, the ones with all the credits behind our name and all the kudos we've received. but to be like little children.
Yeah.
And what's beautiful on this is that it really sets the entry bar pretty low. We don't have to accomplish. Little children haven't accomplished a whole lot. Maybe they've destroyed a few things, but you know, they don't really get a chance to do a whole lot as little children. And Jesus is turning the script upside down, and far from just ignoring them and basically considering them as not adults, so therefore not really to be considered. And this is wowing everyone in the crowd. This is not what we expected to hear. And I see actually the disciples disappointed at Jesus' response, because from their culture, keeping the children away and not bothering a big teacher with little children was something that most people go, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you kept them away. We didn't want to be bothered with them. And so everyone else probably would have thought, okay, yeah, we understand. Teacher doesn't want to be bothered with these ones. And the last thing they were expecting was Jesus to say, oh, wait a minute. Don't ever interfere with little children as they come. So it's such a beautiful flipped script here as we see this. And not only are they accepted, but childlike is not optional. So that kind of brings us back to our own situation. How do we come into the kingdom? Do we need our accomplishments to be out there in front? Do we need to come with our accomplishments and our degrees and all of this? Or do we need to come in the opposite? You know, one hymn says, one line of a hymn says, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And so I think we need to see ourselves like that, like the little drummer boy. You know, I have nothing to offer a king, but all I have is my drum. And so I'll play for him. And can't you see the joy? Even though that's, you know, that's all fictitional and whatever. But if that happened, can't you imagine the joy in Jesus' face if the little boy came with his drum and played his drum because it's all he had to offer? So we come and we bring all we have to offer, which in the end is really not much, because we have to receive everything from Jesus. So here's the upside down kingdom, this all new kingdom, which is sending shockwaves through the crowds. And as I mentioned in the paragraph at the beginning, for those who wanted to establish and keep established the status quo, the way things were, the way we've always done it, this was too much, because he was tearing down the structures that they had securely built to make sure that their positions of authority and high regard were not messed with. But for those who were expecting the Messiah to come as the warrior, the conqueror, the one who was going to kick Rome out of Judea and reestablish national sovereignty, this business of just healing people and putting little children on your lap and taking time to look into their eyes and bless them, that was like, wait a minute, we have way bigger fish to fry than this, Jesus. So let's move on. Let's do something that matters. Like call down fire from heaven. Get rid of Rome. Do raise up an army. Do what we need, what we've seen you come for. And we see that repeatedly with the disciples, of course. They've walked with Jesus, and they're just not seeing the signs they're hoping for. He doesn't seem very militaristic. He doesn't seem like he's about to break out into a massive rebellion. So they're disappointed, and the religious rulers are scandalized. And so we now are those who live in God's kingdom. We don't need to prove anything. We just come simply before him, knowing that he sees everything anyway. So all of the things we put up to make ourselves look good, you know, all of the fancy things we try to dress ourselves up in and present as our qualifications, his eyes burn through that. And what does it say he looks at? Not the exterior, but the heart. So he sees our heart. That's the only thing he's really interested in when we come. Such a beautiful, beautiful turning upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful for us in retrospect, because we have 2,000 years on these guys. And so we see what Jesus accomplished. Yeah. We see what he was doing. But from their side, they're still waiting. And so we have the benefit of 2,000 years perspective on this. And maybe still we're learning. Still we have things to better understand. So this is the first thing I wanted to look at here, this idea that children are the makeup of heaven. So let's pray together, and then let's have some reactions to this verse and what you've experienced as well in regard to this. Father, thank you for the radical message that you came with. Thank you that you have given us your word to show us what the rest of the first century looked like, and those who followed you, what they learned from experience, how they experienced you, how they experienced the power of your spirit working in them. So thank you today, as we are in the 21st century, and we look at all that the kingdom is, and for all the ways we still misunderstand and still seem to not truly grasp what you've come to teach us. But thank you for all the ways we have learned. Thank you for all the good teaching that we've received. Thank you for understanding now far better what your role was as Messiah, far more than just liberating a group of people from Roman oppression, but liberating from the slavery of sin and death. So we bless you this morning for this all new kingdom that you've given us to live in. Could we live more and more aware of what your kingdom is like and what your requirements are of us? Amen.